Oops.
Blog Talk Radio.
Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, prayerprescriptions.com, and the author of the upcoming book, Prayer Prescriptions, Spiritual Remedies for Long-Lasting Health. My guest this evening is Sheila Audette, a.k.a. Astrologers, Astrologers. Astrology, the Astrologer. She will be doing astrology and tarot card readings. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Hello, dear Sheila.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
Good, good. Here I am. What are we going to talk about?
I like that. Here I am. Well, we were talking about that you would talk about Mercury retrograde and how it doesn't really feel like that Mercury really went direct.
Okay. Well, it's interesting to me that a lot of people, you know, when they say Mercury goes retrograde, they say you can't do anything, you can't sign new contracts, you can't, buy, you can't do this, you can't do that. But basically, if you have started something before Mercury goes retrograde, you can do that. It's just you're not supposed to start anything in the physical domain when Mercury goes retrograde. It's a very spiritual time, especially with Mercury going between, you know, Aries and Pisces. It's like bringing, it's as above, so below, bringing heaven to earth. So when Mercury went retrograde, it went retrograde March the 12th at 7 degrees of Leo.
Mm-hmm.
So then it went, you know, back into Pisces. So then Mercury went direct April the 4th at 24 degrees of Pisces. But because it retrograde in Aries, it's not over until it gets back to the spot where it went retrograde. So it's coming forward. April the 16th, it went to 0 degrees of Aries, but not until April the 23rd does it get back to the original position of 7 degrees of Aries.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is, you know, it hits and it goes by and then it comes back and it hits and then it goes behind and then it comes up and hits again. And then it goes past it, and that in-between space is the space where you're supposed to have learned lessons, and if you have learned the lesson or if you have not learned the lesson. So
right.
It's interesting because, you know, I have a friend that she grooms dogs, and her pet mobile went bad during this Mercury retrograde. So Mercury is communication, so when she took it to Sears, she got somebody from a foreign country who works on Japanese cars to work on the car.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't get everything, so then it had to be taken back again. And so then there you go. It was taken back again for the second time. So
right.
Then she said to me yesterday, but Mercury went direct. And I said, no, it didn't exactly go direct for you because it's not fixed. And now it's back again into the Sears shop. So that's the third time. So it's like, yeah, so it means that the problem, you know, it's the way you deal with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercury in Pisces basically is more connected when Mercury is in Pisces. Its actions are much more through the Piscean energy, and this has been the Easter season. And Neptune is in his own sign of Pisces. So it's been a very... heaven has been very close to earth during this spiritual season.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
But, you know, it's like the world doesn't stop every time Mercury goes retrograde, which even some astrologers think the world stops. It doesn't stop. It means you're supposed to be more connected to, like, your prayer or your meditation or turning into your being and not your doing. So Mercury goes retrograde, it's trying to stop identification with what you do, such as I am this or I am that or I am this. We're beings doing our thing, right? Mm-hmm. But we are still beings, and our ego identifies with what we're doing. So you say, you know, I am a mother or I am a, you know, factory worker or I am whatever, which means... Which means when this Mercury went retrograde, it kind of separates you from that identity in some way in people's lives. And,
well,
you know, Mars...
There's different I am. The I am with identity is different than I am love, I am joy, I am, you know, the resurrection or whatever. So, in that way, Mercury going retrograde might be more of the I am of the soul.
That's right. That's good. Yes, that's a good metaphor. And, you know, Mars also went retrograde January the 23rd, which is action and reaction.
Uh-huh.
So it will go direct April the 13th, but it still won't be back to its original position in Virgo till June 18th and 19th. So, and Mars is a much different thing, you know. Mars
right.
is action and reaction, where Mercury is auditory experience or sound and vision. So they're different kind of experiences, but having them both retrograde at the same time means basically the auditory sound and vision experience and the action and reaction are really up front. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's a time where you test how you react.
Right.
When you say, okay, I should step back and observe this, or I should do a breathing exercise, or I should make space between this instead of just blowing up. Because when you blow up with Mars in Virgo, it means there's three lines in Virgo. It looks like an M, and the glyph is turned in. So it means you blow up, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So it really affects all those layers. And it's also ruled, Virgo is ruled by Mercury. So the Mercury in Pisces, Aries and is affecting this Mars in Virgo at this time. So a lot of people are having a lot of high spiritual experiences. And also, you know, look at this weather.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather, and look at the wind, you know. The wind is, you know, Mercury, there's been a lot of wind, and there's the weather conditions are not the way they've been before. And so there's a lot of the astrological things that are going on with nature.
Yes.
And then we're dealing with Saturn retrograde February the 7th, and then Saturn won't go direct till June the 25th. But it won't be back to its original spot till the 22nd, you know, September the 22nd. It's stationary, which means it's stationary right on its spot from the 22nd to September the 30th. So Saturn is like learning, the whole planet is learning some big lessons here, I think, politically and every other way, you know. And so it's interesting, you know, I mean, politically today, you know, right after Mercury goes direct, the Centaurum fell out of the race. And he fell out of the race because of a sick child.
That's what he would like to let everybody think.
Well, the three-year-old went into the hospital. And maybe, you know, you never know. The values come out at a time like that, you know, when it's a member of, you know, a child. And a child can give you great lessons, you know.
Sure.
I mean.
There's
enormous lessons in when you see a sick child there. What do you really value, you know? I think, you know. So anyway, I pulled Lindsay Lohan as an example, you know. I pulled her chart as an example, and so as an example, you know, she, you know, at 22 years old, she's a Cancer. But at 22, her son went into Leo. I always find that one of the hardest transitions, the Cancer into the Leo thing, because the Cancerian thing is like emotions, you know, and it's ruled by the moon. And then it goes into Leo, which is the sun, which is ruled by the sun. So, it, you know, and all the ones I've ever worked with, I find that are really no matter what, especially if you're a child and, like, you know, you progress into Leo like at 1 year old. Now, progressions work differently than transits. Transits are a day at a time, okay? But progressions are a year at a time. So her Mercury went retrograde at 7 years old in Leo. And at 22, it went back into Cancer. So it only goes direct when she's 32 years old. So this is a lifelong lesson in progressions for her. And 40 years old, it goes back to Leo. And 46, it'll go back to its original spot. So people were saying, why is it taking her so long, you know, to really learn this lesson? Well, right there it is in the progressions. It's a long, it is taking long for her to get it, you know, beside the progression from, you know, the Cancer into the Leo.
Yeah.
And her moon being in Pisces. And I mean, her moon is in Taurus, which means I've learned a lot about Taurus lately. I really have. And Taurus, they're all right when they feel they're in control. But when they aren't, when they feel that something in their home space is out of control, they literally go crazy. You know? And I've never really experienced being in an environment totally living with a sun in Taurus. Joanne was a moon in Taurus, you know, and that's a whole different kind of emotional thing. So I just wanted, and you know, Lindsay Lohan has a finger of God, you know, to Venus in Leo and Mars in Capricorn and Jupiter in Pisces. So her thing here is this. Her mission in life is like to do this thing with addiction. You know, like Bill Wilson had Saturn, Mars, Mercury, and Uranus all in Scorpio. And his sun was in Sag. And right directly across from his sun in Sag was Pluto-Neptune conjunction in Gemini. So he brought so much information. He was here to bring information about the disease and write the book and give people a way of dealing. I mean,
he was called the social architect of the 20th century.
So that's right there. I mean, you could label this chart that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and in the 10th house is Jupiter in Leo, which means his job, his spiritual job in this world, the 10th house was Jupiter in Leo, was to expand this message to the whole planet. He was born to do that. But actually, it's like when somebody comes to you as whatever and they say, well, I'm addicted to cocaine or I'm addicted to heroin. You know, you cannot give them, you can tell them things, but basically, if you've not experienced, my theory is, may not be right. If you've not experienced yourself, you really don't know the pull. Don't know the complete, you can make a judgment about it, you can make an assumption about it, you can make a perception of reality about it, but you really have never experienced it. And my whole thing is, if someone tells you something, you might remember it. Even if someone draws you something, you might get it. But if you actually experience it, then you got it.
That's right. Experiences really trumps everything.
Yeah, I think it trumps everything, because if you live through it, you know, then you have it. You tell somebody, they may forget. You show them, they might remember. But involve me in something, and I'll really understand it.
You'll never forget it.
No, you'll never forget it. You know,
let me just say that Sheila Adette is on the line here. She is an astrologer and will be doing astrology and tarot card readings. And the The call-in number is 347-205-9200. I just want people to know what they're tuning in here to, because we have a chat room that's filling up. And there is one caller on the line, so perhaps we should bring them on.
All right. Sure, honey.
Okay. Area code 207. Good evening. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Great.
Hi.
What is your name?
Hi. My name is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Do you have a question for Sheila?
And when were you born, Cindy?
July 12, 1949.
Okay. What's your question, honey?
I was wondering if you could take a look at my chart and see what's exploding at this point.
Are you exploding, Cindy?
Yes, I feel like it.
That's quite a word to use, Cindy.
I think everything is
a very physical word. You said July what?
July 12th.
July 12th, okay.
Yeah.
But we don't want you to explode. You will make national television.
It's a good explosion, I think.
You should be exploding right now because you're in Aquarius, and this is the time. Your moon is in Aquarius, okay?
Yeah.
Your sun is in Cancer, of course. But the Aquarian energy, which I was just talking about Mercury, the Aquarian energy in your moon is like there sometimes is instant enlightenment, which seems chaotic. Which seems to frazzle you because it's a whole lot of information coming in at once. It's like, Uranus rules lightning, and your Aquarian moon is that you're outside the circle, that you're a leader, not a follower. And, leaders are followers and good followers are leaders, but still in all, it means that you basically are someone that is leading us into a new way of being. And your Mercury is in Cancer, so that means that you really care about people and you really love people. And Venus in Leo, again, is love of the planet, love of children, all that. And Mars in Gemini is, you're getting a lot of information right now.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a specific question that you wanted to ask me?
Well, I think all areas of my life are changing, from relationship
yes.
to work. I'm actually a jewelry artist, and I think Venus in the 10th house is, and that's coming to the forefront as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, work and relationship seem to be right
the
there.
The main thing, yeah. The main thing that I see here is you have Saturn in Virgo, which means mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you need to not judge yourself. You need
right.
to try to stay in the moment. Someone told me this week, and it's kind of funny. If you have a foot in the past and a foot in the future, you're pissing on the present.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Yeah, so
I'm living in the present now because I have much a lot of clarity about who I am and what my life is, and very
beautiful.
Few things bothering me now. And
yes.
I don't know if it's Mars retrograding back over my Saturn. Of course, it rules my seventh house. Mars rules my
yes.
seventh house. Or there's just a lot of things going on.
Well, Mars retrograding back over your Saturn. I always look at Saturn like it's a cross on this top, right,
mm-hmm.
with the glyph of the moon in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things that have been repressed, especially if Mars is hitting it and going back and forth over it,
uh-huh.
it explodes open things that you think you can never expose.
Right.
It brings up emotions and things that you think, oh, my gosh, if they knew that, I'd die. If someone knew that, I would just, nobody, and then they do know it, and they go, oh, we knew that all along, and then the person goes, oh, my God. So it opens up places that, and what I'm trying to say is it opens up places that let you relax, okay,
mm-hmm.
relax into who you are, who you really, are. So I'm going to pull some cards here for you. And I just dropped them all on the floor, so you are exploding, okay? Not all of them. Okay, So I got the Seven of Discs and the Mother Peace card. She's sitting in a pumpkin patch, this woman, and she's overpregnant with an idea, I always say. She's overpregnant with something physical, and it won't be born for 2 months because it's a seven card. But it's going to be born, and it's going to be beautiful. And then I got the Six of Wands, which, if you've ever seen the Mother Peace cards, they're round discs. They look like sand dollars. This is the first card that they created. It's the Six of Wands. It means every single thing that you need to do what you're doing, you have. And as you go down through this journey, if you just ask for it, it will be there. It's like when, you know, I say, you know, when I'm from the theater, when you do a production, an original production, like you do jewelry, and you're really in a passionate place, every single thing that you need comes at the time you need it.
I find that to be true.
Yes, and then the Four of Wands is a dance of joy. So this is really a really great reading. And I got on the top of that the Eight of Wands, the little overpregnant. You got two little overpregnant fairies here, okay? She's holding the arrow with the fire in it, and it means no matter if anybody has done this before you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the movie Big with Tom?
Yeah.
I think it was Tom Hanks. Well, there were two other movies made that year, and they said for them not to make that movie because, you know, it had already been done. And he said he was going to do it anyway, you know, the director, and I forget his name at this moment. But still in all, it was the biggest movie. It was a hit. So it means these little arrows that are in the forefront, it means your arrow is still in your bow, but it means that's the arrow that will go the furthest.
Mm-hmm.
That's the arrow that will create the vision and make it happen, Cindy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
I suspect that that's my jewelry.
Oh, sure.
Tell me about your jewelry. I channel it.
Oh, great.
It just happened. And I make one-of-a-kind pieces.
Oh, my.
And I'm going to Scotland and Ireland beginning in May for a month, and I think there's a message there for me as well. And so when I come back, I think I'm going to bring something back that's really going to enhance my work in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right on the mark about the originality of the jewelry and
it
to be out there and that kind of thing. So you've hit a lot of things. And you know, it's not all totally clear to me, but I can see the path. So I'm certainly
well,
not.
Well, we don't want
backwards.
It to be totally clear.
that would make the mystery go away.
Wouldn't it, Cindy?
that would ruin the adventure.
Yes, that would ruin the mystery. We don't want to do that.
Sweetie. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Well, I wish you wonderful luck.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, you're welcome.
Good
okay,
night.
Bye.
Goodbye. We have another caller with 937 area code.
Okay.
Good evening. Good evening.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name is Sandy.
Sandy. We have a Cindy and now a Sandy, right?
Yeah.
When were you born?
April 8th, 57.
Okay. April 8th, 57. Gosh, I turned right to that. Isn't that amazing? Must be psychic, huh?
Maybe.
So, what's your question, honey?
Do you see love coming my way this year?
Do you feel love coming your way this year?
Yes.
How much do you love yourself?
Right now, a lot. Everything just seems, it's just... Everything just seems to be falling in place.
Well, that's good because, you know, then whatever you, how much you love yourself, that's how much love is going to be drawn to you. And so let me look here. You know, the Aries energy can pull love very quickly if they want it. They just have to be, you know, you have Venus in Aries too. And Venus in Aries, that's the reason I said, do you love yourself? Because Venus in Aries, Venus is the identification of a loving self or the ego. That's what Venus, you know when a child says, this is mine, this is my toy? give me that when they go. That's a Venetian energy. It means I identify with the toy. So if you love yourself, Sandy, a lot, your Venus in Aries along with your sun will magnetically pull in someone to love as much as you love yourself at the moment. And you should really be quite aware of that. Mars in Gemini, you need somebody that you can really have a conversation with. You need somebody that really talks your language. You need a repertoire of action, reaction, exciting conversation. Jupiter in Virgo, again, retrograde. Again, we were talking about retrograde earlier. You must watch in your unconscious every day that you wake up, say, I'm not taking down. Do things that you're in gratitude for before you even get out of bed. Because Jupiter in Virgo can really start to criticize itself. And it doesn't just criticize itself in a small way, okay?
Yep.
It really goes for big stuff. But then again, on the other hand, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, it can make itself the queen of the world and love itself more than anybody on every single level. So that all works. And again, Saturn in Sag retrograde, you need somebody, you know, that is really, really smart, that really keeps you interested, that really, because, you know, the sun in Aries is the pioneer sun. I mean, it's the one that says, well, you know, I really, you know, and then all of a sudden it greases the pedestal and says, well, I'm going past that now. I learned all I can learn from that. Okay, I'll draw some cards here for you, honey.
Okay.
Gosh, you got the same one. You got the Six of Wands that you have. For the question you ask at the moment, you have all the skills to do it. What do you think is preventing you? Is there someone in your life now?
I have quite a few guys in my life that have been hitting on me.
Don't you love that word, hitting?
Yeah.
That have been attracted to you. Watch how you tell your stories, Sandy.
That's true. Yes.
Go on.
But I don't know. I just haven't been intrigued by him. It's like maybe it's me. I'm looking for something different. You know, my age that's going to generate with me. I want that one love that, you know, just like takes my heart.
And don't settle for anything less.
Yes. And it just seems like they have not been there.
Come on, Uranus is in Aries now. I mean, you can walk into a place and all of a sudden, you know, it will just happen and bells will go off. And you know, you got the Fool card. This other card is a zero card, so it means you have to be a fool for love. So where you have, and I'm looking because Uranus is in Aries right now, and you know, Mercury has been going back and forth, as I just said, from Aries to Pisces. You should be really looking in an unexpected place. Go to some unfamiliar places, not the same old place, because emotionally you got the Three of Cups, which means some emotional pattern of yours is moving out, and there's a new dance. So you have to get used to the dance before you draw the person in.
Okay.
And that's your dance. That's your dance of love, and you have to get used to that. You see, there's always somebody out there that is waiting to come in. And, you know, you see all the movies, too. You may fight with this person. You're in Aries. You may fight with this person at first. You may, you know, that will keep it interesting, Sandy.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay, sweetie.
Well, thank you.
Have a great night.
Oh,
yeah,
thank
you.
Too. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, that was exciting.
Yes, darling.
Let me just see what's happening here.
Okay.
Pearl is tearing things up, so.
What, honey?
Pearl?
Is tearing
things up, so I have to monitor her.
Oh, I thought I had a reading for Pearl here. I was going, Pearl? Is that the word? I forgot. Pearl's your dog. Okay.
That's all right. Hang on.
Okay.
Okay, we have 717 area code.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on.
Sure.
Hello. How are you this evening?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Samantha.
Yes.
I knew that voice. You only have to say one little thing, and I know the voice.
Okay, my question is,
right.
I'd like you to draw a card. I have a creative project that seems completely finished, firmed mentally, but physically it's not manifesting. Seems like everything else is getting in the way. Popcorn as usual.
Popcorn. What does that mean?
Well, it means like, you know, at the beginning of the day there are 200 things you're thinking of, and you can only do 7.
Okay, you know, the interesting thing that I got about, as I got the healing card in the Mother Peace card, it's a 6. The person that's beside this person has their hand on their head and their other hand on the lower back, the left hand on the lower back. So it's there's some kind of a healing process that is going on because, after all, Sagittarius wanders, okay?
Yes, yes,
the vision,
I'm well familiar
the vision,
with that.
The vision gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, an example is my apartment was first going to be done, and now the brick wall's exposed, and now the ceiling's torn out, the Sagittarius is doing it, and now she's tearing the bedroom out ceiling.
No.
So now there's, yeah, well, but it's a Sagittarius thing.
The walls exposed are very exciting.
Oh, yes. The whole place is very beautiful. What I'm saying here is when you get this card, this healing card, it means you say specifically that this hour is to this project.
Okay.
And I'm not moving from it because, gosh, everybody, you got the 3 of Cups, just like the girl before. It's a new dance. This project that you're doing is a new dance. Now, Joanne had the moon in Taurus, so I would tell her to keep. I would ask her to keep you in the seat. You know?
Yes.
I would ask her to keep you in the seat. Now you got the 6 of Cups, which is such an exciting card. It's the Kundalini energy rising up. So this is a very, very important project. As above, so below. What is it?
It's some jewelry pieces.
Oh, jewelry's hot tonight, isn't it?
Yeah. I heard that myself.
Yes. Well, that's beautiful. Anything you make is exquisite, Samantha.
But I do
get
stuck, Sheila. And this is a stuck.
Well, all artists get stuck, you know. And, you know, the stuckness is part of the process.
How long have you been working on it?
I know it's not pleasant.
No.
How long
no.
have you been working on it?
Maybe 6 months.
Oh, that's a while, yeah.
Well, Samantha, you got 6s here, these cards. The healing card is a 6 of Discs, and the cup card is a 6 of Cups, and the other cup card is a 3, half of the 6. So
my life number is a 3, and 3 and 6 and 9 are all very powerful numbers for me. Does this mean I have to wait another 6 months before I stretch this out?
Now that's taking the negative, isn't it? No.
It is.
It means if the 6s are up now, it means now. It means
now.
you just have to say, not put duality around the stuckness, but say
right.
The stuckness is, own the stuckness. I mean, I am doing that right now, so I know that. Once you own the stuckness, once you own that emotional stuckness, it goes.
Then it'll break, yeah.
Yeah, well, then you relax, and then the flow goes, and you know, the side of the brain, the creative side of the brain. But the more you say, I'm stuck, the more you say that out loud, the more you're unconscious saying, I'm going to keep you stuck. So you say, I own the stuckness, and I'm, and, you know, I own this stuckness. And I'm going to put it into the jewelry, whatever that means. But I'm going to stay stuck in the chair.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to stay stuck in the chair until it happens. When I used to be choreographing and I needed to get a routine done, I used to go for car rides because it's a high meditative state.
Oh, yes, yes. They're very fine. They're very fine. I do my best mental work driving.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's the highest form of mental of meditation that there is. So there you go. How's Gandalf?
Oh, he's great. He's sitting here right with me.
Good.
My sister
Gandalf
and my daughter.
Gandalf is Samantha's dog, for who's listening.
My daughter said he actually, when he's at home, stands on his hind legs and speaks in English. You know, British.
Yes.
He doesn't. It's Scottish.
Yes. Yes. Well, Gandalf is a very spiritual name.
He's a very spiritual boy. He really
and so
is
Pearl. So.
Well, thank you, Sheila. That helps. Because, you know, I used to have a grandmother who had very limited education. And I would wake up in the morning with 100 questions, realizing that she could answer maybe one or two, and I would be carefully ferreting through my mind all the ones or, you know, the, and she generally got one. So.
But it was probably a good one.
Yeah, yeah. But,
probably
you know, it irritated her. It irritated her to be asked questions, so you had to sort of work them in gently. And I always asked too many questions for her. So.
Well, that's what you were born for. You're a Sagittarius.
Yes, and that's the popcorn again.
You wanted the bigger questions answered.
Well,
yes,
thank you,
sir.
Darling. So nice to talk to you. Great show.
Thank you,
Samantha.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we have, let me just see this. Somebody said they were going to ask a question in the chat room.
Yeah.
I do have a crazy dog right here. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, she's just feeling the energy.
Yeah. So this person is dating. Hang on. This person is Kina, and her birthday is April the 16th, 1979.
Okay. Wait a minute. April the 16th,
1979. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
Hang on. So she is dating a person whose birthday is January. Wait a minute. I really am having a problem. Just a minute.
Yes, sir. It's okay.
No, it isn't.
Well.
She's taking advantage of me. She is dating a guy now. His birthday is January the 22nd.
What year?
But she doesn't say the year.
Oh.
So we need the year. We need the year, Kina. Please give us the year.
Well. Okay. Come on. Well, I can... So she's dating an Aquarius. Okay, she's there. Is she hearing me?
Yeah.
Well, she's dating an Aquarius, and she's an Aries. Okay, she's double fire here. It's a lot of fire, and so she has the sun and sun in Aries and the moon in Sag, and Mercury in Pisces, and Venus in Pisces. It's a very highly spiritual chart here.
Wow.
And
cool.
Yeah. And the Aquarian energy, like Aries and Aquarius, it's like lightning all the time. It's like, you have to weather the storm. And, are you going to work, for me, I always say you're going to wait for the storm to pass or learn to dance in the rain.
Yes.
So it means basically learning. She had Mars in Aries, too. There's a lot of Aries. What's her name?
Kina. Yes.
Well, Kina, yes. You have to have a lot of excitement in your romance. However, the Venus in Pisces, you've been back, Mercury's been going back and forth over this part of your chart. So whoever you're with now, you have probably been with in another lifetime. And there's something that you need to work out with him. And so there's some big lesson in this relationship, some powerful lesson for Kina here. and it's to open up her passion and her excitement and her, it may not be forever, I always say that with the Aries, but right now it's to really learn something from the Aquarius, something very exciting. And I'll pull the cards. And I got this. Man, this card is really, and I didn't, it means she got this Empress, which means get up and really look, you know, she's laying between worlds, and it's get up and really look at yourself and say, is this what I really want?
Mm-hmm.
And some emotional thing is moving out, and I got the Lover's card, which means there's a lot of drama in it. There's a lot of love in it. And the black and white is coming together. And this romance is realigning the chakras to what is really important. And there's a lot of wisdom to be gotten by it. Okay?
Wow. That says a lot.
Yep, it does. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
See, here we have a... we have an 802 area code.
Right.
802 area code. Hello there.
Hey, Kate. It's Chip.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? You
wonderful.
Sound great.
So do you.
Hi.
This
is Kip. This is Sheila.
Hi. Yeah, I've been listening in.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask a question on...
when are you born?
Oh, May 3rd, 1954.
Mm-hmm. May 3rd, 1954. That was a good year.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Looked out for me.
It did? Good. All right. Okay, what's your question?
Oh, well, I wasn't so much... I sort of had a question on money issues. Always been a struggle. But then I looked to the last one and kind of thought, well, I'm in an interesting soul connection with someone. And I'm just curious about that.
Sun and moon both in Taurus and Mercury in Taurus.
Yeah, I think it's real strong Taurus.
You're a real strong Taurus. What you have to watch is not controlling the environment or not controlling the relationship. It's really important right now because there's something that's coming in, Venus and Gemini, something that you have, something is coming in that you have not experienced before. And what's opening that up is because right now Venus is in Gemini, transiting. So that it's laying on top of your natal Venus. So there's some kind, and Venus, I always say, is the ego or the identity or what I was talking about with Kate about how you identify yourself. So it's like you have to let go of the physical identity, and this Venus in Gemini is about learning some esoteric thing. Mars in Capricorn, you have Jupiter in Gemini too. So Venus and Jupiter are in Gemini. There's some really great... there's a big lesson that's here that's to be learned right now with you to release you. It's a major life lesson, I would say. And I think basically the money issues are that the way you're telling your story. Because if the Taurian energy is telling the story that I've had trouble with money, that, you know, all of those kind of things, if you tell that story, that's a story that's going to happen. So start telling a different story, like money is now going to come very easily because money is just energy. I mean, it's energy that comes in, and if you tell the story that it's not coming in, then it doesn't come in, especially for the Taurus, okay? Are you there?
Yep.
So I'll do some cards here for you.
Well, I generally live as if it's coming in all the time.
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
I generally live as if money is coming in all the time. I just spend it quickly.
Oh, good. Well, that's good, isn't it?
I operate as if there's plenty more coming. It's just there's always hand to mouth.
Yeah, you got the Dorje card in the OSHA deck, and the Dorje card, you know, the Dorjes are about something huge coming in from, and you got the Source card, so something huge is coming in very from the Source, and you got the two card of friendliness with two trees beside each other. There's something in partnership here that is happening. Something in partnership that it may seem, you know, underneath that is the ordinary card. It may seem ordinary, but it's not. It's big. It's a big thing, and it's like this next card I got is don't postpone. Do it. Whatever it is that you want to do right now, do it. Don't look at the past. And that's like I said, someone said to me, if you look at the past, 1 foot in the past and 1 foot in the future, you're pissing on the present. It means stay right in the moment. And I got the Turtle Guard in the OSHA deck, which means slow down and be completely conscious in every moment. Because if you could miss it. So the turtle goes very slow, but the turtle has the world on its back. Okay?
Okay.
What's your name again? Shep?
Yeah, A-I-P.
Pip?
Yep.
Pip is a writer.
Are you
a writer?
Oh,
pardon
great.
Me?
She said you're a writer.
Yep.
And that could be part of what is happening here, too, with your book and books.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What's your book called?
Zen and the Art of the Midlife Crisis.
Wow. I need
Don't
to
you love
that.
It?
Yes.
I love the title, you know, and it's very it's alluring, you know, and it's.
I love that
so,
title.
So for everybody who's listening, go to Amazon and type in Zen and the Art of the Midlife Crisis and buy the book.
I will do that, Pip.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kip, for calling.
That's all about Kate. Thanks, Kate. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night, honey.
Good night. We have another 207 area code. This person. Okay, she just... Hello there.
Hi. How are you both tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. My question is, I'd like to make a complete change and leave a relationship.
In legal relationship?
And leave one.
Oh, leave one. I was like,
yes.
What's your birthday, dear?
August 30th, 1961.
Okay, August 30th, 1961. And why can't you leave it?
It's very involved. It's been very long. There's a lot of other things going on that I can't go into.
August the 30th, you said, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
1961. That's correct, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. What happens with the Virgo energy is it's very complicated because the sun rules the physical identification of self, and it means that you, as soon as you try to get out of something, you start to judge yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You leap from one to the other. So the thing, then you have, were you born in the morning or the afternoon? Do you know?
I don't know.
Do you have a clue?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, then I'll just go with the Aries Taurus. It means, you know, every time that you make a move, like you make a move and then something grabs you and you get stuck, okay?
Yes.
And you're back into the same emotional circle. And the same emotional circle is what the game is. You have to do a breaker in the circle. So to do that, you have a basic belief system about this and a basic perception. And what you have to do is, can you name the emotion around not being able to get out?
Being stuck.
being stuck. That's not an emotion. That's where we, when we tell our stories, we get mixed up. That's a physical thing, being stuck. So if I say to you, physically you're stuck because emotionally what's happening? Can you give me an emotion?
Not so much. I can't give an emotion. I can say other things, but I can't give the emotion of it.
Well, is it fear? Is it apathy?
No.
Is it none of those?
No.
No. Well, you have Venus in Leo, and Venus in Leo means, you know, it's a fixed sign, and it means the drama keeps going on. So you have to, you know, and me being from the theater, I'm going to say, you have to get out in the audience. Okay. What's your name again?
Mm-hmm.
What's
D.
your name again? Huh?
D. D.
Okay. D.
Yes.
D. You have to get out in the audience. You can do a process that I work with people with. You get out in the audience, you can draw a picture, or you can sit in the audience and watch yourself in this relationship and say to yourself, what would I tell her to do, okay, instead of being right in it stuck. Once you get out as the observer, once you do this process and you get out as the observer, you sit, you can draw a picture of it. Maybe that'll make it easier for you. But you can draw a picture of it, and you can put down the words physical, mental, mm-hmm. emotional, and spiritual, all those words. And then you give yourself a physical word, you give yourself an emotional word, I'm stuck because of whatever, and you give yourself a mental word, and you make a sentence. But then you say, spiritually, how would I feel, you get that? How would I feel if I was out of it? And you can do that you can do that process and see if that works for you, because you have Mars in Libra, which means, you know, every time you get a little bit out, you get back in, and it rebalances itself some way, and you think it's going to be better. So you're telling the story that it's going to be different this time. But history usually does that. How long have you been in the relationship?
Over 20 years.
Well, see, that's a really... that's your moon in Taurus. That's really a relationship that you know, when you're walking around your house and you see pictures and all, when you first bring them in, they look great. And you go, oh, my God, I love that picture. I love that picture. And then after a while, you don't see it anymore. So, and that's the same way as a relationship. You know what the other person is saying before they even say it. So you're already answering them. You get what I mean? And instead of doing that, you have to become more conscious. And the trick to that is ask questions, D. What do you mean by that? Instead of mind reading. Because you're so good, when we're in a relationship for so long, then we're so good at assuming what the other person is saying. But make them say it. Make them say it. And answer everything with a question. Can you do those things? Then you can call back next month on Tuesday, the second week, and see how it turns out, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Thank you for calling, Dee. You know what, I think that I wanted to say really quickly about next month. I think we're going to go on Wednesday.
Okay,
Let me just take a look.
Okay.
Because I want to make that announcement right now while we're talking.
Mm-hmm. right, honey.
Yes. So that would be in April. No, we are in April.
Yes.
I think we're going to go with you on the 9th instead of the 8th next month. If that's okay.
That's fine with me, honey.
Okay. Let me just see if we have time for anybody else. Or if anybody else is on the line.
Right.
I think we're pretty much okay
good.
There. Yeah.
All right, honey. Okay.
So the river is flowing by very close to your house, and you find, is that the first time you've ever lived by a river?
It's the first time I've ever lived by the river. It's a place that I would never expect to be. It's a place for the universe, and there was great resistance to it. And so every day I began to walk 5 blocks to the river. And every single time that I go to the river, I get some kind of an answer. Like today, the wind was blowing, and I was asking for direction, and right from nowhere, two ducks just came out in the river, in the wind, and they were fighting. They were kind of fighting to go upstream, and it was like the retrograde thing, and then the river turned them, and they floated downstream, and then they floated upstream. They started to fight to go upstream again, and then they went downstream. So, it was, you know, the ducks were showing me, just go with the flow.
Yeah.
Just go with the flow, you know, and
yes.
And that, and I mean, I know that you do this too. It's just like every time, it's like getting me back to the basic thing of astrology when I first started to study it. Like every single thing is in nature, and
yes.
Nature does not have resistance to things. Nature just goes with the flow.
Yeah,
and you know, and when you're sitting like you do every day, and like I'm doing every day now, there's so much to be learned by just being still. And we live in concrete buildings with walls around us, most of us, and don't go out and you know, and experience nature. A lot of people anymore.
Right,
I mean,
know.
Just,
and boy, the river is just a wonderful teaching about nature. It takes you right in.
It's
a mirror
it
to your soul, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a mirror to your soul and the vastness of the river. And then, you know, watching the boats cut through it, you know, when the speed boats, and there's a lot of fishing boats up here. And then watching a fisherman just fish silently on the bank with his children. And my grandson was fishing, too, this week. You know, he was just sitting there with his group fishing. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful lessons to be learned. And you've talked, and there's that whole thing, Kate, about, you know, hearing you talk about the river, and you know, you told me and I would forget, or, you know, even you show me, but and remember, but now that I'm involved with the river, now I understand you more.
Yeah, that's pretty
you know?
Much what my whole book is about, is the river, the animals on the river, the seasonal changes and all the experiences with these dogs. And it's just, you know, quite a ebb and flow of life, right?
Oh, yes. I'm with this woman now who is totally, her whole life is dedicated to grooming dogs. I mean, and I had a dog, two dogs when I was young, boxers and all, but I've never been involved with a multitude of different kinds of dogs.
Yes.
And so just, you know, just experiencing them is, and then all these things have come where I've been doing some charts with when the owners, as I told you before, met the dogs. And one dog, I did a reading for one person, and the dog yesterday had to be put down.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was really interesting because I told her that this dog had come in for a period of time to learn her to, and the dog had been brutalized in many ways, and only saw out of one eye. But it's just really interesting. As soon as Mercury went this time, when Mercury went direct, the dog they had to put the dog down.
Mm-hmm.
So. So, you know, there's so many lessons. Dogs are just so, they're just such honest lessons. You know what I mean? Well, you do know what
I
mean.
Yeah, there's a man in coming on the radio show soon. Has written a book called Your Dog is Your Mirror.
And, oh, wow.
I was reading it when Tom went to Tennessee to pick up Pearl. And when he came back with her, it was one of those times when I had to sleep during the weekend to work at night. And she was lying out next to me, and I woke up and she was staring at me. And not only is your dog your mirror, but we are their mirrors too, is what I learned in that little moment.
Yes.
So we are at the end of the program, my love, and we can do this next
Wednesday.
A month from today, except on Wednesday instead of Tuesday. And I'm so happy that you are doing so well, and it's www.sheilaodette.com.
Right.
Look over at that. Yeah. Love to you,
all right, Angel.
We'll talk soon.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Angel. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.